As was announced, the scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 14 and 15 from the New American Standard Version. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome.
Good to be with you as always. We appreciate everyone's presence, certainly the faithfulness of members here at Brown Street. We appreciate your good attendance. Being a child of God is certainly a great honor, and it is a privilege. We, of course, have been adopted into God's spiritual family, and there's been more people than not over the years who have rejected the invitation of Christ and have rejected him, therefore. And you might remember over in John chapter 1, John has a little something to say about that. And what really is one of the saddest passages really in the New Testament. In John chapter 1, at about verse 9, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." But then verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him." And this is the very world, of course, John 3 at verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so Jesus was here on earth in the first place to fulfill God's plan of salvation and to save this very world that knew him not. But you notice at verse 11, it gets even worse. He came to his own, that is the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born, he says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so clearly it is a wonderful privilege to be a child of God. God has given us the right. We don't have the inherent right, of course. But God has given us the right to be his children because through and by the gospel, he has called us and again adopted us to be a part of his family. And so what a blessing. But we must realize that being a child of God is not only a privilege and an honor and a blessing, but it is a great responsibility as well. There are commandments that have to be kept. There are instructions that must be followed. There is a certain lifestyle that we must live in order to please God and be the kind of children that he wants and that pleases him. And so are you ready to do that? Tonight, just for a couple of minutes, we want to talk a very simple lesson, asking the question, are you ready? Are you ready to be the kind of child of God that God wants you to be? Are you ready to be the kind of child of God that will make it to heaven after a while? Are you ready? Very simple lesson, but let's look at two or three things that are involved in being ready, or things that we should be ready to do. First of all, we should be ready to go with Jesus. And I remember Peter suggesting that he was ready over in Luke chapter 22. Turn your Bibles over there. Luke chapter 22, and at verse 31, Jesus says to Peter, "Simon Peter, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." Now, listen to Peter at verse 33. Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And of course, we know the context. Jesus tells Peter that he is going to deny him three times. And so we understand that Peter on this occasion, at this particular point in time, maybe wasn't ready to do what he said he was ready to do, that is go to prison and die. But we must remember that this is just a small sliver of his life. Really, when you look at the overall life of Peter, he was ready to go with Jesus. And the question is, are we ready to go with Jesus? to give our lives to Jesus, to sacrifice to Jesus, to be the kind of people that he wants us to be. Notice over in Matthew chapter 4, we have the call of Peter and the other, a few of the other apostles. In Matthew chapter 4 and at verse, beginning at verse 18, it says, "And while walking by the Sea of Galilee," that is Jesus, "he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Look at verse 20. "Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately," it says at verse 22, "they left the boat and their father and followed him." And so they began, these men began on this occasion to sacrifice for Jesus. They left behind their occupation of being fishers, fishermen. And I understand that they probably didn't in reality leave that occupation altogether. Like, this wasn't the last time that Peter ever went fishing. He still had to make a living. But there is no question but that once he decided to follow Jesus, and they made that decision immediately, to follow Jesus, and once they made that decision, they certainly sacrificed a lot with regard to their occupation. Think of all of the hours that Peter could have put in fishing and being more productive from a financial standpoint with regard to being a fisherman if he didn't follow Jesus to the extent that he did. And then after, of course, the church was established and he became, not only was he a preacher of the gospel of Christ, but he became an apostle and was an elder in the Lord's church. And so we understand that much of his time went to the service of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to give things up as Peter and James and John were willing to do, and Andrew were willing to do, the other apostles were willing to do? Would you be willing to sacrifice an occupation? Would you be willing to spend less time on your physical or secular occupation, even if it means sacrificing financially, so that you could give more time to the service of Jesus? Are you ready to go with Jesus? That's the question. Peter was ready to go with Jesus. And again, he had some bumps in the road, but he demonstrated through the bulk of his life that he was ready to sacrifice for Jesus. He was willing to give some things up. Are you ready to do the same thing? That's a part of being a faithful child of God and a faithful disciple of Christ. We must be ready. Jesus put it like this in Matthew chapter 16. You remember at verse 24, a familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 16 and at verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Are you ready to go with Jesus? Are you ready to deny yourself of certain things so that you can be more effective as a disciple of Christ? So that you could give more of your time to fulfill the mission that Christ was on, that he came to do, that is, to seek and to save that which is lost? Are you ready to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Remember Matthew chapter 6 and at verse 33, the very thing that Jesus told us that we must do. The kingdom of God, there's the rule and the reign of God in our lives. Are you ready to do that, to put that first in your life? To put his rule over you above everything and everybody else in life and to go with Jesus? Are you ready to do that? If we're going to be faithful children of God, we must be ready. You know, you stop and think about it. This whole idea, this concept of being ready in every endeavor of life, whether we succeed or fail, a lot of it is determined by whether or not we are ready. You have to be ready on your job if you're going to be successful, even in your secular occupation. You have to be ready if you're going to school to get to the classroom and think and to listen and to pay attention and all of that so you can get a good education. And really, in every walk of life, if you want a good marriage, you have to be ready for that. A lot of people get married and they're not ready to get married, and it ends up in a mess sometimes. And everything in life, really, a lot of it, success, from the standpoint of success, is determined by whether or not you are ready. It's the same thing with Christianity. Are you ready? Are you ready to be what God would have you to be? And it begins with being ready to go with Jesus. And of course, another thing that we might discuss is being ready to preach the gospel. That's another area in which we must be ready. And the familiar passage that comes to mind right away is what Paul said as he was writing to the Romans, you remember, in the great book of Romans. In Romans chapter 1, Paul indicated that he was ready to preach the gospel. Notice again in what was our scriptural reading in Romans chapter 1 and at verse 14. Romans chapter 1 at verse 14, Paul says, I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So, and I'm reading from the ESV, as you know, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are at Rome. The King James says, I am ready to preach the gospel. And this isn't a terrible translation here, eager, because he anticipated, he was looking forward to getting to the greatest city in the world at that particular time and to share the gospel with people. He was eager to do that. He was ready to do that. Are you ready to preach the gospel even here in Akron, Ohio? We have to remember the Great Commission. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're obligated to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 16, Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Paul was. And he was obligated not just as an apostle and not just as a preacher, but as a Christian, as a child of God, to preach the gospel to those who were lost. He was eager to get the job done. Are you ready to do that? To preach the gospel. Remember, God has put the gospel in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about that. He could have done it some other way. God could speak directly to men and call men directly if that's what he wanted to do and trying to save the world. But instead, he has entrusted the gospel to men. And now we have to be ready to preach the gospel. I think about being ready, and there are things involved in that. If you're going to be ready, you have to be prepared, don't you? In this very passage in Romans chapter 1 at verse 16, of course, is the place where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel, the power of God. Dunamis is the Greek word there, and you have heard, I'm sure, that we get the English word dynamite from dunamis. And so the gospel is the dynamite of God. Now, you know as well as I do, you can't just pick up a stick of dynamite and start fooling around with it, trying to toss it all around and probably blow yourself up. And you have to be trained. People have to be experts in using something like that. They have to prepare themselves to use dynamite. We have to prepare ourselves to use the dynamite, the power of God, that is the gospel of Christ. And the only way to do that, of course, is to study and to prepare yourself through that kind of activity. Are you studying the Word of God? Are you ready to preach the gospel because you have the knowledge to do that, to share the gospel with those who are lost? It takes not only knowledge, that certainly is important, but it takes some courage to preach the gospel in this world of hostility in which we live. People think contrary to the ways of God, the will of God. Some people downright despise the gospel of Christ and what it teaches. Are you ready to take that gospel to a world that has a contrary attitude? You're going to have some courage to do that. Paul, again, is an example of one who had that. Philippians chapter 1, there are certainly many places where we can turn and look at that. But turn over to Philippians chapter 1 just for a moment. And Philippians, the first chapter. Down at verse 20, he says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed. We'll get back to that in a minute. But that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And one of the ways he would do that, of course, maybe even the primary way that he would be honoring Christ in his body would be by and through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And you notice he said he would do that with full courage, because that's what it takes. I remember Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, you remember, and they boldly proclaimed Christ, the very thing that great authority didn't want them to do. And they had boldness to do that, and even the Sanhedrin recognized their courage, recognized that they were bold individuals to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they concluded that they had been with Jesus. And it did take courage for them to do that. But the truth is, it takes courage for you and for me, for any individual, even today, again, in this world of hostility, to really proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do that? Do you have the courage to stand up for Jesus? And another thing that he mentions here, and it's another thing you need in order to be ready, is not being ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to do with courage or a lack of courage, but it has to do with being ashamed. There are some who are ashamed of what the gospel teaches. Remember what we said this morning, the gospel has to do with what is taught in the New Testament. That's the faith under consideration. That's the teachings or the doctrine of Christ. Everything that is taught in the New Testament. And all of those things, the teachings of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the faith, all of those are different terms to refer to the gospel of Christ. And that's the word, that's the seed that we have to disseminate to the lost and dying world. And we understand that there are some things in this New Testament that people won't want to hear. It's in this Testament we learn, as we have talked about again on Sunday morning, that there's one church. Are you ready to teach that? The moral stance of the Scripture. We don't have time to talk about all of the different areas of morality that are in conflict with the way the world feels and believes, but are you ready to stand up and to do that? Take some courage, but also you can't be ashamed of anything the gospel teaches. Paul said again here in Philippians chapter 1 that he's not ashamed. I will not be at all ashamed. The King James says, in nothing I will be ashamed. And I kind of like that King James rendering of that better. They're both basically saying the same thing, but in nothing I will be ashamed. Paul is saying, I won't be ashamed of anything at all that's associated with the gospel or associated with Jesus Christ. Not ashamed that he suffered and died on the cross. That's a shameful thing. In Paul's day, that was a shameful thing for a lot of people, particularly the Jews. To be crucified, to be hung on a tree, that was a shameful thing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of what my Savior has done. In nothing I shall be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of anything that was taught through the gospel of Christ. He certainly wasn't ashamed of the church that Christ established. He wasn't ashamed of anything associated with Jesus. Can you say that? If you are, you're not ready to preach the gospel. You certainly won't preach the gospel the way God wants you to preach the gospel if you are ashamed of that very gospel. And so we need to be ready. Are you ready to preach the gospel of Christ? I can think of another thing, another area, and it is somewhat connected to that last point. But we need to be ready to give an answer. You remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, and at verse 15. He says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, and always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Again, the King James uses the word ready. Be ready to give an answer. And as I think about this, again, there's some overlap with what we just talked about. In order to be ready to give an answer, you have to study, just like we said, with preaching the gospel. And so study to show yourself approved unto God. But there are other things involved in this. You have to be ready when it comes down to giving an answer. You have to be ready to contend for the faith. And that's a little bit different than just spreading the gospel of Christ. Again, there's some overlap there. But when it comes down to defending the faith, That means you have to be ready. You have to be prepared to have some disagreements with individuals from a religious standpoint. You have to be ready to reprove and to rebuke when it comes down to things that are false doctrine and to expose that error. And there are some people that are, they're ready to preach the gospel and just tell people about Jesus. And as we talked about this morning, tell them about that story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But when it gets down to controversy, when it gets down to really defending the faith against false teachers, sometimes even those within the body of Christ, not ready to do that. But Peter said, be ready to give an answer. Sometimes that means defending the faith. In fact, in that same chapter that we were at just a moment ago, in Philippians chapter 1, turn back over there for just a moment. And earlier in that chapter, Philippians chapter 1, and at about verse 15 or so, Paul says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here. Why? For the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to add to afflict me in my imprisonment. But notice that he says that he was put here for the defense of the gospel. Are you ready to defend the gospel? It takes a little different mindset to be willing to do that. It's easy to walk away from controversy. It's easy to say, well, you know, I don't like to argue with anybody. I don't want to be in an argument. And the fact of the matter is, every time you're defending the gospel, that's not necessarily an argument. But sometimes we think in our mind, any disagreement at all, that's an argument. And I don't like to argue. And so I don't want to talk to anyone who disagrees with what I believe. Can't defend the gospel of Christ like that. We are soldiers in the army of Christ. We have to contend for the faith. And in that text in Jude verse 3, that's military language that he uses. We are soldiers in the army of Christ, and we have to be prepared and ready to fight. We have to be prepared to defend the gospel. Are you ready to give an answer? And at the same time, again, this has to do not only with understanding and knowing the Word of God, but the attitude that you have. Because you have to not only be ready to defend the gospel of Christ, to earnestly contend for the faith, but you have to be ready to do it with the right attitude. In fact, turn back over here to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we usually just emphasize the part of that verse that says that we are to be ready to give an answer. But notice, as you go back to that text at verse 15, it says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And that's important, isn't it? You have to be ready to give an answer, but be ready to do it with love, to do it with a gentle heart, to do it with kindness. And that's critical if we're going to defend the gospel like we ought to. And we might point out that personal consecration is important too. That's important in every aspect of our Christianity. I recognize that. That's important when you go out and try to plant the seed and win new individuals to Christ. But it is particularly important when you're given an answer, when you're defending the faith. Because a lot of times you go out, let's just say we're going out on Saturdays and we're preaching the gospel and we're passing out cards and things of that nature. That's preaching the gospel. That's wonderful. But people aren't really going to stop and question your life or even know anything about your life. And so how you're living in that case. Now, it's between you and God, it is important. But so far as the impact that you have on that individual you're dealing with, that's not going to really come up even. But when you get down to defending the faith, you get down to giving an answer to people, and particularly when there's some disagreement and people get upset and the temper of people rise, one of the things you can just rest assured that they're going to do, if it's an ongoing situation, they're going to investigate your life. Like they're gonna know if you're living a hypocritical life and it surfaces at all, they're going to know about that because they want to know about you, the one who is challenging them and what they believe. So personal consecration is very important. You don't want to be dealing with somebody and you have the truth and you're trying to convince them of the truth and there's some disagreement and they've been taught false doctrine and but they in the end don't accept it because they look at your life and they see you're not living according to the standard of the gospel. So personal consecration is a part of this whole business of being ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to suffer for Jesus? That's another one to think about just for a moment. Are you ready to suffer? And we understand, of course, that Jesus was willing to suffer for us. He gave his all. He gave his life on Calvary's cross. But we ought to be willing to suffer for Jesus. Turn over to the Acts chapter 21 just for a moment. In Acts chapter 21, Paul indicates that he was the kind of individual who was willing to do that very thing. He was willing to suffer. At verse 12, it says, "And when we heard this, we and the people there urged him," that is Paul, "not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? Now listen, for I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" Kind of sounds like the testimony of Peter, doesn't it? I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die. And again, as I said earlier, Peter was ready to do that. Maybe not right at that moment when he said that, but he got to the point where he was ready and did give his life. But Paul here, he, on this occasion, at this very moment, he was ready. He was upset with them because they kept bothering him, begging him not to go to Jerusalem. He viewed himself as being on the mission of Christ, and he was ready to give his life. He was ready to suffer. Whatever would happen to him in Jerusalem didn't matter. He was ready to go to prison. He was ready to die. Are you ready to suffer with Jesus? I tell you right now, the only people really who are ready to suffer for Jesus are those who are rooted and grounded in the faith. I remember, and we'll not read it now, but in the parable of the sower, you remember, as Jesus talked about the different ground, the stony ground, and that represented those who didn't have much root. And you remember he said that when tribulation comes, they at first receive the word with joy, but when tribulation comes, then they end up stumbling. You need to be grounded and rooted to be ready, as Paul was ready to suffer for Christ. Of course, all of this, when we really think about being ready, the greatest thing of all, the most important thing of all, is that we are ready for Jesus to come back. Are you ready for that? Turn to one more passage over in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus himself spoke of this. In Matthew chapter 24 at verse 42, he says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Now, all these things we've been talking about tonight would be a part of, play a part in being ready for Jesus Christ coming back. Certainly, if you haven't ever obeyed the gospel, being ready is obeying the gospel before it's too late. Repenting of your sins and being baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. If you're not willing to do that, then certainly you will not be ready for Jesus to come back. As Christians, being ready with regard to that, being ready for the Lord coming back, is walking in the light and living the kind of life that God wants us to live. Being faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10. That's important. Are you ready? You can't just say, "Well, yeah, I'm ready because, you know, 5 years ago or 15 years ago or 25 years ago, I obeyed the gospel of Christ. I was baptized into Christ." That's not the question. That's maybe a part of the question. You certainly have to do that in order to be ready. Those of us who are Christians, we have done that, some of us, a long time ago. Are you still ready? Have you been walking in the light? Have you been allowing the Word of God to shape and to form what kind of person you are? Have you been faithful up until this moment? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Jesus himself asked the question and demanded that we be ready. And so, being a child of God is a wonderful privilege. It's an honor. It's a responsibility. But it is a responsibility in which we have to be ready. There are other things we could talk about, but are you ready to be the kind of person God wants you to be and to make it to heaven after a while? I hope that you're ready. If not, you can do something about it. If you fall in either of those categories, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can ready yourself this very night. You can repent and you can be baptized. If you haven't been living the way you ought to be living, you can turn that around. Repent of your sins. Get back on the right track before it's too late. Be ready. Because as Jesus said, we don't know the hour when the Son of Man is coming. So I hope that we're ready. If you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we together stand and sing.